Today marks the anniversary of a remarkable but relatively unknown step in challenging Jim Crow laws. It's part of civil rights history that is often untold and occurred 14 years before the well-known 1961 Freedom Rides. 62 years ago today, a group of 16 white and black men engaged in nonviolent protest publicly challenging segregation in the South. FSRN's Linda Marie Taurasi is in Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
April 9th, 1947 is the day the Brooklyn Dodgers added African-American slugger Jackie Robinson, ending approximately 60 years of baseball segregation. But another event on that day plays an important part in civil rights history. April 9th was when an interracial group of bus riders dared to test the U.S. Supreme Court's 1946 Irene Morgan decision that banned racial segregation in interstate travel. Before the term Freedom Ride was coined, the men rode through the Upper South in defiance of Jim Crow laws, which in part required blacks in the back, whites in the front. Ruby Sinreich is communications co-director with the Fellowship of Reconciliation, or FOR, the group that helped organize what came to be called the Journey of Reconciliation.
In the 1940s, FOR was beginning to do a lot of racial justice organizing and helped found the Congress of Racial Equality, which was largely supported by FOR staff members. FOR and CORE together organized that trip.
One of the FOR staff members who founded the Congress of Racial Equality, or as it is known, CORE, was George Hauser, a white Methodist minister and conscientious objector who had served time for refusing to fight in World War II.
We believed in nonviolent action to deal with the problem of racial discrimination. We were more concerned with peace. The Second World War had started. We had been studying the autobiography of Mahatma Gandhi and seen what success his nonviolence had had and was having, which finally, of course, led to the independence of India.
Hauser, along with Bayard Rustin, an openly gay African-American Quaker, were charged to outline the route, the bus and train trip from Washington, D.C. to Louisville, Kentucky, which would then loop back to D.C. FOR staffers advised them to stay in the Upper South to avoid the dangers the Deep South posed to integrated travelers. Hauser says the trip was more than just an experiment.
We took a preliminary travel through the states that we were going to operate in, Virginia, North Carolina, Tennessee, Kentucky, to arrange for lawyers in case we were arrested and to also arrange for a public meeting at various universities and NAACP groups and church groups along the way to explain what was happening. It was a matter of educating bus drivers and police with the Morgan decision, and anybody who was on a bus where action took place.
Although there were many arrests along the journey, a mob attack during the stop in Chapel Hill put the Journey of Reconciliation under the spotlight. Yanni Chapman is an historian for the local NAACP.
The thing that was particularly significant in Chapel Hill, they were attacked physically in what was thought to be by many around the country as the most liberal town in the South. The fact that they were attacked by a white mob and sentenced to the chain gang, I think, shocked a lot of people. So all of this got into not only the North Carolina media, but the New York Times and other national media.
During his imprisonment, Rustin wrote 22 Days on a Chain Gang, an expose of the North Carolina state prison system, which was serialized in the New York Post and contributed to North Carolina discontinuing the chain gang in 1949. After leaving FOR in the 50s, Hauser worked on African liberation struggles until the 1980s. Now, 92 years old, Hauser lives in Nyack, New York, and just last year witnessed what he refers to as the end result of his fight against segregation.
When it was announced that Virginia and North Carolina were going for Obama, we felt, well, it's all over. And here is a black man who is going to be endorsed as the next president of the United States.
Rustin maintained his activism throughout the rest of his life and went on to mentor Martin Luther King Jr. on the effectiveness of nonviolence for the Montgomery bus boycott in 1955. He died in August 1987. Linda Marie Taurasi, FSRN, Chapel Hill.